Welcome back to Mixed Coffee, a podcast that offers you great conversation over a cup of instant coffee to brighten up and enrich your mornings, afternoons, or evenings, wherever you may be. Hope you enjoy and let's get talking.
Yes, I got to choose our topic today. But before I tell you explicitly what the topic is, I have some questions for you both.
Okay. Ooh. It's like a little teaser.
Yeah, some trivia questions.
Yeah.
So first one. How much money is it projected that Squid Game earned for Netflix? The options are $891 million, $901 million, or $911 million.
I would choose number two.
Judy, mm-hmm. You agree?
I'll just shoot big and go for the biggest one, whatever it was.
I chose the biggest one.
Oh.
Didn't I?
Number two was the second
Wasn't
biggest
it, like,
one.
Ascending?
Yes, they were ascending. Correct answer is $891 million. I tried to trick you guys and I succeeded.
So we both
failed. Yeah, we
failed.
Yes, but that's a very big number. The second question is, what year did BTS debut? This could be an easier one. Did they debut in 2012, in 2013, in 2014, or in 2015?
2013.
I'm going to say 2012. I'm just going to go for the lowest one.
Okay, the correct answer is 2013. Allie was
Allie.
Ooh. Was anyone a fan right off the bat?
I wasn't a fan right off the bat. I think I was a fan starting with Dope and ending with, and yes, it ended. I guess I will have a lot of anti-fans. I guess I still like BTS, I'm just not an ARMY anymore.
I was never a fan, but that song is the first one I remember hearing. And actually, like, hearing the name. Oh, BTS. They're a thing.
Which song?
Okay. Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
That's the first song by them that I ever knew.
I think that's the first song that actually got popular in Korea as well as outside.
This is going to sound, like, super... I'm probably going to get a hate from most people out of this, but to me, most K-pop songs sound the same.
Okay, no one's gonna listen to our podcast now. Both of you guys, gosh.
The way most pop songs sound the same, and most country songs sound the same, and most rap sounds the same. I think every genre just kind of like, I don't know, it's very hard to find like unique artists from each genre. I'll say more on this later because I feel like this is gonna be a whole topic, but.
Yeah, do we have other questions?
Yes, you have one question left. So I want you to name the fake K thing, you know, like there's K culture, K pop, K drama, K food, all these K's. What is that called?
K-ness. K-ification.
So which one is the false one? So is it K chip, K yard, or K cop? Which is the false one?
So two of these actually exist.
Two of these actually exist.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh.
K-chip, K-yard, K-cop.
K-yard? I would go with that one. K-yard. I don't know. It sounds just weird.
I'll go with K-chip. For no reason.
K-chip?
At all.
Allie is correct. K-yard is not yet a thing. We'll see what the government does when it gets a hold of the idea.
Everything becomes a K.
What would have that been? And what are the other ones?
K-chip is like a chip for semiconductors. I've been reading about it in the news.
It sounds like potato chips, you know? Like just Korean potato chips.
Yeah, I thought it was about like Korean potato chips.
And the other one, K-cop. I saw this on a sign when I was passing through Korea. And it was like advertising a cop or police museum there. And it was like K-cop in like huge letters. I thought like, why are we doing that? Yeah, okay. These all come together. I'm showing you... K culture, the K phenomenon, the Hallyu wave, or I guess that's redundant, but Hallyu, the Korean wave. So what I wanted to talk about today is just go into depths, and this can sound maybe kind of controversial, but like the pros or cons of K culture, just talk about like what's happened with K culture, I guess coming over or crashing into, if we're going to keep the wave metaphor, crashing into places that are outside Korea. What's happened?
Now we're really going for the anti-fan.
Yeah, third episode, we're going to lose any listener we had.
This is a good setup for our entire podcast. out of the 18 listeners we have, I'm sure like majority of them must be giant K fans. That is why they're supporting us. Definitely not because they're Ali's friends from Romania.
This is like a stepping stone, so like a trial. If they go past this episode, they're like true fans.
Well, I'm not trying to be controversial, not being like, K-culture is terrible, but I just want to talk about, I think when I see K-culture talked about in the news, it's either like people who are kind of xenophobic about it and they don't like it for that reason. They're like, what is this? And this doesn't quite belong. And people are being, like, girls are being silly if they like boy bands, like that kind of thing. And then there's the complete opposite side, which is like, K-culture is wonderful. It's so amazing that it's come over here. It's so amazing that they've become popular. And I just want to kind of dive into what else we can, like, if we don't have to take the complete opposite poles of that argument, just kind of talk frankly about like how it's affected maybe us or like what we see about like how it's just affected people it comes in contact with, I suppose.
I know, yeah, and it's completely right to do so. I mean, even if we're a fan or not of K-pop, a coin has always two sides, so we can always find good things and bad things about stuff. So I'm just taking a class on critique, and our professor was like, if you find something very good, you should always find something bad about it. And vice versa. If something is really bad, you should always find something good about it. So there's nothing completely bad or completely good.
Let them hear. The giant gods of K-pop here.
I have lots of different questions, but I'll start with a general one, I suppose. Is overall, do you think Hallyu is generally a positive phenomenon?
Well, everything is relative because we're anthropologists, but...
and we're relativists, that's why.
Yeah, but but if you look at it from the perspective of development, I think for Korea it has been a very positive outcome through Hallyu. It has been very sudden, and no one knows exactly how and why this happened. I mean, to pinpoint exactly the origin of Hallyu, but... I think it has been a very good pathway to development for Korea, and especially for the economy. And the we've seen through its development and through its outsourcing into the entire globe now, how the entertainment business and everything surrounding Hallyu has become like a business. Yeah. And it's just now has its own system, and it's becoming like trendsetter even nowadays for the rest of the music. We see them on Billboard and other artists that were originally on Billboard before K-pop was up there just wanted to collaborate with BTS or Blackpink or what, oh, I don't know what other K-pop groups are in the top now, but it's a very sudden change, and for some people it might be like, why are these people suddenly on the top? But it's not like their music has just suddenly gotten better. It's just that they gotten more recognition for it, and I think that can happen with any country, really. Like, I don't think any country is just bad at music. It's just that we don't know about it.
I agree with you there. Like, there's so much creativity happening all over the world, like films and everything, and in the West, or specifically in the United States, and I didn't realize this until a few years ago, but we are very much like, we think that we're highlighting everything that we see that's happening in the world, and they just happen to be all Western or all American, but it's mostly just we're just looking at ourselves. We can't see everything that else is happening, or we're not looking, so now we're looking, and I think that overall is a good thing.
I mean, language plays a big role. English is dominant language over the world because colonialism, but also like, I do think it's positive that people are now looking, like you said, looking to stories and just things happening around the world that aren't necessarily in their language, that requires a little bit more insight, a little more digging, a little more research as to why and what is happening. I guess that kind of is more from the perspective of like Korean films and television. In terms of music, I mean, just from a Korean perspective, I'll say economically, it's great because it got us a lot of money, more money than we had before. Got us sort of on a global platform. But I say, yeah, I think to me it's still very strange. It is a phenomenon that what it seems like, what to me Korean music, K-pop, you know, doesn't really stand out that much from other kinds of music, but the fact that it sort of made this big leap and soared into the world, that's is very strange. I mean I'm sure it has something to do with things like marketing, branding, the emphasis they put on like visuals and dance, which is also like a big component of K-pop. Yeah, I feel like it sort of opened the way for other things like K-dramas, K-movies to, you know, be highlighted as well. I think the movies thing is much more of a recent phenomenon. Like, I think until at least like Parasite, Korean movies weren't really as big as dramas or music, except for, you know, people who are really into it.
I mean, Hallyu was initially referred to just as the Korean music that was outsourced. But now it's just everything. It's just everything that is produced in Korea and gets a visibility outside Korea. It's just labeled as Hallyu. So I think with time, people just kind of naturally searched and got an interest and a curiosity in everything about Korea. So just movies happen to be a bit later on that timeline. But yeah, well, I think it all started with like music and dramas. And,
the Hallyu wave began in more like countries that were closer in the late 90s and 2000s, and it mostly started with dramas. So music wasn't really a big thing for a while, but music is what broke in the West. But in other Asian countries, they started to use the term Hallyu. And it was because of dramas like Winter Sonata and like Sarang Mogire, I think that's what it's called, like What is Love, that kind of thing. And that surprised them as well. Yeah. They're just like, wow, all these countries nearby.
I think I was seeing Hallyu as when it broke into the Western world, because for some reason, the Asian, or just to say Southeast and East Asian part of Asia, was already familiar with each other and its content, media content. So it was a bit more natural for them to know what's happening in Korea. But once it got out into the Western world, now that was interesting.
Yeah, like entering the Western platform is what sort of globalized it.
And it is an interesting phenomenon. Now people are wondering when is it going to die down, and if is it going to die down?
They try to get into the Western market with like Girls' Generation, especially SM. And Rain, and they just like failed. Like Girls' Generation even performed The Boys, like their song The Boys, and it just like completely flopped in the US, and so they just like couldn't break it. And then it was just very surprising when Gangnam did it, so that was really interesting. So why do you think Gangnam Style, was like the song by Psy, became so popular with Western viewers? Like, why do you think that became so popular?
I think it was as much the sound as it was the visual, because I think it was the video that just popped, not the music per se, because people were, I don't know what, I think celebrity saw this video randomly and then shared it on their social media, and then it just blew out of there. And people were just probably very surprised with the visual, because that video is crazy.
It's a trip.
Yeah, it's a trip.
It's weird.
So I think that's what got people interested. And then after the whole craze fade out, they were actually able to look into Korean music. But it was an interesting phenomenon. I think I was seeing it live, because I was already into the K-pop world, and it was interesting to see all the people around me suddenly being interested in a country and in a culture that they have, as you said in the beginning, negatively judged as being just weird.
I honestly think Gangnam Style is like the only Korean music video I've ever watched, and I only watched it because it went viral, and that was the time of YouTube when like funny and weird stuff was going viral like all the time. you know, and like I've been watching a lot of random like comedians, like Asian comedians too, like Ryan Higa, or like just stupid videos like The Annoying Orange. So it was like I just think it caught on to the market really well. And I do think YouTube and online platforms open the doors a lot for like random unknown artists,
Right.
even in other countries. You know, I think that played a big factor into, I guess, maybe how it entered, you know, the global market, or how it just sort of entered our consciousness.
But I think Psy was kind of knowing what he was doing with that kind of style in that time, because he's actually really smart with his concept.
I don't think that he tried to make it viral. I think he was just doing what he'd been doing, and then because of the culture of YouTube, it just blew up. But I mean, he was talking about something, as like other researchers have pointed out, like he's talking about something very specifically Korean, and even the visual messaging was very specific to Koreans and what they would understand.
And he did say he was not trying to make anything viral. He was really surprised by it. But it worked out. And here we are now.
Oh, this leads to a really interesting question though, because I finished. I have to look this up before we end so that I know the author's name. But like this article that was talking about Psy's phenomenon when he became really famous, and like all these Western talk show hosts wanted him on, they still kind of kept him in like this one-hit wonder sort of appeal. It's like, oh, when is it gonna end? Like, and they're not really treating him as a real artist. And that happens a lot in like Western media, where we're like, oh, this is like out of the usual, but it's really popular, and so we're going to, you know, milk it for all it's worth. And so Psy was sort of treated that way. And there are some things I wonder, like there are some people who are really, really into Korean everything, like K everything. It's like, oh, I really love this drama, and so I'm going to look up more dramas, and maybe I'm going to like try the food, and like they're kind of the way that they see other cultures, or the way that they see Korea changes over time, and they just want to like accept all things, or like Korean pop culture, they just want to like see it or experience it as pop culture and just like enjoy it and be part of it, but not see it as like this weird kind of fetishized one-hit wonder thing, if that makes sense. But I think there's another part of viewers who kind of see some products from Korea as like this one-time kind of fun thing to really get hyped up about for a short while and then just let it slide. Does that make sense? Like those two different camps seem to exist.
Never thought of it that way.
I mean, I wonder which of it is more fetishizing.
Ooh.
I don't want to just focus on the fetishizing part, but
Well, I mean, it's true. Some people are fetishizing Korea and are using the Korean wave, are writing it very, very, very strongly because it works and it pays off. So it is a kind of fetishizing.
that is interesting, because I don't know, to you, when you consume American media, does it feel very foreign? Because I think on the flip side, from like I know a lot of Koreans, I think from a Korean perspective, they actually do sort of idealize American or European media and aesthetics. They have very specific like ways to describe them. They want to sort of reenact, or I guess either design things or try things that resemble like American culture, European culture, you know. I actually think like the inspiration for like cafe culture in Korea sort of arose from that. Like, they had this romanticized idea of like European cafes sitting outside, like sipping their little espressos, eating their little croissants. And then they like, and people do act like Korean people, they talk about, you know, like American burgers, American pizza, whatever. And they do romanticize it in a way I think I never did, just because I grew up in a Western country, and to me, like seeing American media was like the same as anything else I'd ever seen. So I feel like there's a bit of like a mysterious or foreign aspect to it.
Yeah, so I have a question regarding that. So it's very interesting to me. I mean, I'm one of them too, but it's really interesting just in general. How people get interested into one point of Hallyu or one point of Korean drama, and then they get interested, as you said, honestly, to try out the foods, to try out their music, other type of music, to try out their other cultural aspects, and to visit Korea and everything. But like, I'm thinking when I was in middle school slash high school, I was looking at American TV shows, but I was never like, oh my God, I really want to try that burger, or I don't know, see middle of nowhere in whatever state in US. I mean, yeah, some of the places looked really nice and I really want to see, but it wasn't like that. So I don't know what is was different about Korea that almost everybody that got into the culture was like encompassing everything that is Korean culture.
I think normalization is another big part. Like, it was already represented a lot on media, and also, so I think it's more familiar to a lot of people. And also, it's hard to pinpoint a single culture on America or like American media, just because it is, more ethnically diverse. There's just different parts of America, different cities, different states have different vibes. So I just think like whatever story you're hearing, there isn't like one collective aspect of it.
Well, that's where I think is very different, because for me, my country, I know when people say Europe culture, they mostly mean Western Europe, because in my country, like, it looks very different from Western Europe, and it's a very different feel when I was looking at US TV shows, because we don't have that kind of advancement. We don't have skyscrapers. Like for me, when I came to Korea the first time, that was the first time I saw a skyscraper, like a tall building, taller than like 20 something stories. Like we don't have that in my country. Like we have a couple now, but so it's a very different landscape, first of all, a different kind of technological advancement. Like and I don't know, it's just US was just a vast territory and so diverse. And it was just interesting, and it was very different for me.
It's interesting, Allie, when you pointed out how, I mean, I don't watch a lot of things. I watch Korean stuff and I watch US stuff and I watch British stuff. And that's what I grew up on, just the last two. And then I started to watch Korean things. But British and American shows never make me want to eat something, or they never make me want to visit a place, really. I'll just be like, that looks cool. But I don't feel. And that's still saying something, because Britain is far away from me. I've never been there. And for the US, I live in this itty bitty town. I never visited the big cities most of my life. I still haven't been to California. Those are the cities most often represented, but I never felt
Yeah,
like,
true.
oh, I can't wait to be there. I want to dress like them. I want to eat like them. I want to be in relationships like them. Like I didn't even think that. I was just like, huh, this is entertaining. But when I watched Korean stuff, I want to just like consume the entire culture. And I don't know. Is it something that's inherently really attractive about all these different components, or is it the way that they sort of sell it? Like, yeah, they're marketing something sometimes, but just the way that they enjoy the food, and they just like, oh, this is just so amazing. Oh my gosh. And even if they're not actually trying to market you a particular food, just like the way the characters enjoy it makes you feel like, yeah, I want that.
Now they do romanticize and aestheticize like the food aspect especially, but like I think all the visuals themselves of like especially dramas, K dramas, it's like so crisp, it's so clear and so focused on the images, almost like the way you would film a commercial. Like I think the kinds of cameras they use and the angles and everything is just feels very commercial. Also, those are like heavily sponsored. And like Korean K-dramas, they take their ad placements and sponsorships very seriously.
I know at one time there's like, I think people were making fun of a K-drama where they really overdid it with eating something, where they would like show it off and be like, hey, you look tired. Why don't you try so and so? It's great. And they're like, it seemed like a commercial, but it was supposed to be within the story. You're
Yeah.
like,
Yeah, it is very hard to get like a story that doesn't involve one of those moments.
some of them are really natural and I do appreciate it. Like, I learned to appreciate a natural PPL.
Yeah, it's almost like a signature now. You gotta look for it. There's only one other kind of, I guess, genre where I feel inclined to eat something, or I get like really hungry looking at the images, and it's when I watch animes. And they have those like either like those lunch boxes, or like they go to some nice cafe and they're eating like omuraisu, or it's just
The
like,
cakes.
and they the visuals, the illustrations are really good. They make the food look amazing. And because we just
How
know,
can
like,
they make that ramen so good?
I don't know, but like Japanese food is amazing. And just seeing that is like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, no. Anime is known for like their very visually pleasing food.
I don't know. We come back to visuals a lot when we're
Yeah.
talking about Hallyu, the wave.
I think food, because food is a very integral part of Korean culture. And I know Koreans are trying to, and they're doing it knowingly now. Like they're promoting everything that is Korean culture with only one product. Like if they're doing a drama and they know they're that there's gonna be a foreign audience, they are going to promote Korean culture.
So what about K-pop? Because K-pop promotes itself differently from dramas. So like, what is it really attractive about K-pop,
They're pretty.
I guess?
To me, like with K-pop, the idols themselves are the products.
You're right. That's what I was getting at.
I know. You're just trying to hook us in, but like there's a reason. Like we use visual marketing not just with, food and items, but with people. Like honestly, like I because I had to because to me, K-pop is such a strange phenomenon I don't understand. I had to think through it and ask people questions and realize the visuals of the idols themselves, as well as the dance aspect, were like what made it stand out so much from other kinds of pop music, that like I said, to me sounds very similar.
I remember reading when SM, the entertainment group, created HOT, they sent out a survey and they were asking girls what kind of guys they were interested in, and then they tried to form a group that had those attributes, like visually as well.
Well, they succeeded.
And this is like true story, guys.
I believe it. I mean, recently I was watching this like K-pop survival audition. I don't really watch those. I was just what was watching like this one clip where I learned that K-pop idol groups have like a visual center.
Oh yeah, there are a lot of positions in a group.
Yeah. Which I found like I mean, I sort of knew it subconsciously, but I didn't really know it until it was confirmed.
It's very complicated once you take a look at so many positions that they have.
What position would you be?
Me? Oh, too old for that. Even when I started listening to K-pop when I was in high school, I was already too old.
So, is it that K-pop is targeted towards like younger audiences? Because it doesn't seem to be just young people who are listening to it.
Yeah, it's very interesting because most of the time people are just keeping up with the people that were popular in their kind of 20s period of time, and then just keep up with those throughout their life. But with K-pop, like people are just interested in the new groups, and it's really interesting because they're young and younger and younger as you grow old, right? And I think one cause of it is the fact that they have so many shows that they invite new groups on, like entertainment or reality shows. And people that are not necessarily young watch those because they're entertaining and they're fun, and they're not catered just for a young audience. So I guess it's a way of finding out who's new on the scene.
I feel like they have to refresh the idols because the audience keeps getting refreshed. They have to cater to this new young generation. 'Cause like you see like older idols doing stuff like variety shows. I see them as like hosting on different shows I watch. And I didn't even know that they were idols because like they were before my generation. But honestly, like my goal would just be to if I were a celebrity in Korea, I would just want to become famous so that I could one day retire to one of those variety shows and be a host and just like watch other people do fun things and comment. Like that would be my goal.
I mean, that looks really
It
fun.
really does.
Oh, you wanna be on TV show, Korean TV show now?
Actually, no, being famous would be terrible. That's just me.
Has its benefits and it has its pros and cons. Like the K-Wave.
Do you have more questions for us, Leslie?
Oh my gosh, I didn't ask most of them. I asked one.
We've just been talking.
I guess my main point is that sharing culture and being aware that there are other ways to live is a wonderful thing. But I saw this in myself, what I was consuming was very visually beautiful. It seemed so wonderful. And my heart was very much, oh, everything is just so wonderful. And I didn't like that. So anyway, I sort of sought to get closer to Korea so that I wouldn't think that way. I was like, I need to make this more real. I need to make it less Hogwarts and more like real life. And that worked for me. But I think I love it in like a deeper way. I remember feeling like this seems too perfect. I don't like kind of thinking of this country as being such a perfect utopia world. So I'm going to try to break that if I can. And I wonder how many other people kind of feel that way. And is it helpful? I don't know. It's something that I didn't want. I still think Hallyu overall is a wonderful thing, but it's not perfect.
It's far from perfect.
Oh, it's not perfect. Nothing can be. And I do agree. It's overall very positive, and it has a very positive impact. I guess for me, the only thing that would, I don't know if it's the only thing, but it's the only thing that comes to mind right now, is the fact that it's so mass produced and it's so mediatized. That it's become just too, how should I call it?
Commercialized?
But like when you take something and you reproduce it so many times, it sometimes loses its value. Mm. And it's just, we just talked about how many idols are coming up and again. And it's just so industrialized. It's just like a factory, somehow now.
Yeah.
For idols,
it is.
And you know, just like a factory, you make a lot of things of the same thing. And I think that's the only thing that kind of gives it a negative side to it.
Yes, the conveyor belt of idols, which does to me, it does strike me as more extreme than in like the Western pop industry, where at least like different artists seem to have slightly different aesthetics, different styles. Maybe it is sort of part of the like boy band girl group phenomenon too, because like there's a thing where like members of a group, they especially in Korea, like they have very similar looks, and just creates there's like a sense of uniformity. In terms of cons, there was one more thing I wanted to add. With like all aspects of Hallyu, is also an incomplete representation of Korean culture. I think I used to like enjoy variety shows a lot, because sometimes they would like sort of show more, I guess, real aspects of like Korea, what it's like. But at the same time, even though like even a variety show, you know, can be scripted and edited to seem more idealistic, and I think that's why I enjoy like films a lot more now. I think the film and drama industry in Korea, the way it presents itself, especially dramas, might still be romanticized, but I think with films especially, it's going more in a direction where they portray, I guess, more realistic sides of Korea. Yeah, because we've all lived here, you know, we've lived in Korea, and as we've lived here, we know that what is portrayed in dramas is not the full reality. And I mean, one aspect I think that a lot of Korean media doesn't really capture is life of foreigners in Korea.
There is one drama, one sitcom, you would call it, that was focused on foreign exchange students in Korea. That was fun. I mean, it had a lot of
stereotypes.
Yeah, a lot of them. But I guess it's a start. I don't know if you know, you probably know the drama called Blood. It's a kind of an old drama, and it features vampires, and because vampires were there, the male character had to go to Romania, right? I actually appreciate that they casted, and they filmed in Romania, and they casted Romanians, and it was natural. I mean, the actor was kind of bad in Romanian, but I have to give it to him. Our pronunciation is very hard, but at least they made an effort.
It is nice when they do ethnically correct casting.
Yeah, they always mention my country whenever there is a reference to Transylvania or vampires, or I don't know, I find it randomly sometimes in books, and I find I'm like, oh, that's cool. Or it's even in Harry Potter. I think a lot of people know about Romania from Harry Potter. I think I heard it once. Because one of Ron's brothers goes to Romania to study dragons.
Ah,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, does.
Charlie. So you have vampires and dragons?
Apparently, we have a lot of mythical creatures.
It's a cool place.
It's a very cool place. Should visit.
I had a thought as Ali was speaking. So, like, how do you feel when people are like, oh, Romania, like vampires?
It's hard to say because it also has both sides. So on one side is stereotypical, and it's almost like people just assume we're all mythical land, and like they're all vampires. And I'm like, oh, have you met Dracula? I get this question, like it's a joke, but sometimes it's like, yeah, it's not really appropriate. It's like that's all they know about our country, and it's fair because we don't really market ourselves that much anyway. So it's fair for them to know. But on the other side, I'm at least thankful they know about it. And it's kind of sad to say, but at least they know something about my country. And a lot of people also know some other aspects, like how we used to be very good at gymnastics, how our wine is very good, how, I don't know, we have a lot of Christian communities, random facts about our country. I don't know, I guess I'm just thankful whenever people mention it. Because we're not a very, very known country.
Korea sort of does that though. Like it takes the pieces of itself that people would know, and then they feel really proud of people knowing them. No one be like, oh yeah, Korea, BTS. But when I speak to people in Korea, they don't get like, oh yeah, well, there's more to us than BTS. But they get very excited. And I guess not every Korean person, of course, but a lot of people that I meet seem to be really excited that people would know anything about their country. So I was kind of thinking of that because I think I'm a lot more privileged in my background, where when I grew up, I was never taught like, oh, people won't really know about your country, Leslie, and so if someone does, that's really cool. But I was taught the opposite. So I guess it's always kind of strikes me when people are just really excited that I know anything or someone knows something about Korea. I'm like, well, of course. So it's interesting to talk to you too.
Yeah, I guess I'm similar in a way with how Koreans view their popularity. But at the same time, it's so different. Like they are proud of that, and even if people mention just one thing about their country, they're like, "Oh my God, yeah, Korea, you know about it." But like if you talk to Romanians, most of them, they're like, "Oh, you know about it?" They're like just surprised you know about it. So it's very different response.
Because for us, it's not as surprising anymore. It's more of a like it is part all part of I think the good marketing tactic, and it's I think maybe we're proud of it because it's been successful.
Do you feel proud?
I feel strange. I grew up well when I was growing up in Canada. People didn't really know Korea. Yeah, it was still like Japan and China were the big things, and no one really knew that much about Korea. Like people barely even knew like kimchi. And although I did have some like strange occurrences like here and there, I had a growing up, I had a best friend in elementary school who was really into K-pop. She was the one who was really into like Big Bang and G-Dragon, and she was white. She had no other really Korean connections at all. She was a huge K-pop fan. And when I learned guitar for the first time in like, I want to say like grade 3, no, grade 5, I started taking guitar lessons, and my guitar teacher knew IU. And I didn't know IU at the time because I was really young. And then he was just like, "Oh yeah, this is IU. She's like a really good artist." And I was like, "Okay." I think when he introduced her to me, I didn't even know she was Korean. I was just like, "Okay, IU." And then I started watching like variety shows or dramas. And so growing up, like Korean, I knew Korean stuff, but I didn't expect other people to know it. And I never really shared it with anyone, just like other Koreans. And then just slowly, as I got older, I think by the time I was in college was when K-pop, K phenomenon was like a big thing. But before then, I didn't expect anyone to know.
Right. I guess you, because you were in a different environment, I guess you weren't in Korea.
These days, I almost expect people to know, like, because I'm so immersed in Korean everything. Like, not only did I live in Korea for a while, like, I was like looking at Korean news sources way more than I was looking at Western news sources. I was just like immersed. So, when I did visit home last time, and I was talking to someone, and I mentioned that I lived in South Korea, and they were like, "What do you do there? What's that? Like, what is that like?" And I mentioned, like, "Well, okay, do you know BTS?" And they're like, "No." I'm like, "I don't know how to talk to you about anything now." But I remember feeling so surprised, thinking, because I'm so immersed in it, it feels like Korea is everywhere. It feels like, because there's so many news articles that always come out, they're like, "BTS reached this new milestone," or like, "This happened and Korea has been acknowledged in this way." And I'm like, wow, everyone knows about it. And then when some people don't still, like a lot of people still don't. And I'm like, oh, interesting. You don't know? That sounds like I'm being very patronizing, and I apologize for that. Lots of things I don't know about.
No, I think it's
That's
very
true.
normal, because I get what you're saying, because we have a different background from other people. Like, we have graduated from Korean studies, so our surroundings were Korean culture. And people that know about it and were studying it, and we therefore made friends that know about Korean culture. And so kind of a big part of our world is surrounding it, because it's our academic career and that's what we are doing. And so it's normal for us to be very immersed in it and to feel like, oh my God, it's everywhere. But and sometimes, yeah, I do forget that some people don't know about Korean pop, K-pop and culture and kimchi.
I think I still know less than you guys.
I think we know it in a different level. Like, we study it, but yeah, your Korean is
We're
different.
full of facts, but not always the feeling.
I am just Korean.
We need to study you.
You are the essence of what we study.
Just so
That is
funny.
why we are actually friends, because I
That's
want to just see you up
exactly.
close. Yes.
I was actually specifically looking for an American and a Romanian friend too to study up
Oh, that
close.
makes me feel strange. What have you learned about me?
What have you learned about me?
Actually, you're not my first Romanian
Oh,
friend.
damn.
I like how this conversation has gone like this.
That's what I like about it, but I'm not sure how people feel about it. Like, our conversation going all over the place. Like, we start with one question and go all over the world with it.
It has, like most of our conversations.
I think that's good, actually. Like, trying to stick to a bunch of questions. Maybe we can do that sometimes. But I like this. I like this whole meandering.
And that was what made us want to start a podcast, because we were starting conversations with just one simple question, and we got to talk for 1 hour about God knows what.
Yeah.
We're like an improv team. We just throw us some words and we do a conversation with it.
Yeah. Our brains work faster than the questions. Guess for my episode, won't be preparing any more questions. Just be like, here you go. Enjoy.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just have to be curious about what we're gonna talk about next time.
Stay curious, always.
That's a good ending.
That is a good ending.
Stay curious, drink your coffee.
Drink coffee. Stay curious.
Drink coffee, stay curious. Oh, I like that.
I ran out of my coffee a while ago.
Oh yeah, me too. Mixed coffee is not that big.
I need to buy some American mixed coffee when I go to the store next.
Then good ones.
We don't drink mixed coffee. So, the ones we
That
do
is true.
have are not great.
There's like Nespresso. I used to drink that.
I'll check it out.
All right. Thanks for listening.